And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
At last count, Brown still had four quarterbacks on the roster. Okay. Is it worth juggling the roster to try and pick up perhaps a sixth or a seventh for Tyler Huntley, or is there something more that could be in play here?
It's a great question. Obviously, they view it as worth the keeping four, at least for the first, whatever, 24 hours. And that's how I think it'll be resolved, Jeff, is, yeah, they get a low-round pick for Tyler Huntley. I don't think they're moving Jameis Winston. I don't think they're moving Dorian Thompson-Robinson, which means it's Huntley. And they got a fifth-round pick for Joshua Dobbs last year. I would think Huntley's a little below that in the value chart. So I think it's a matter of Andrew Berry saying, okay, I can get something for one of my valuable assets, and it's not going to, you know, kill him as far as the rest of the roster. Whoever was that 53 guy, they think they can bring back, however they can do it, and they can pick up an asset. And I think that's the whole reason for keeping four guys for at least a day.
And then the replacement, once they get rid of Huntley, is basically what you're saying, but would be a running back? Is that where you, that seems to be
I mean, it could be Dante Foreman comes back. You know, his contract is terminated, so he doesn't have to go through waivers. We've seen the Browns do that before where they'll cut a veteran and then bring him back a couple of days later, and that buys them a roster spot. So I could see Foreman coming back. They obviously have to add, if not one, two running backs, whether it's the active roster and or the practice squad. Tight ends, the same thing. They have two tight ends. They have to add someone there. So it's all, you know, it's this whole puzzle piece or puzzle, and you have guys that they can claim off waivers. So I think we'll see two, three, four moves today, and I would think that one of them would be a quarterback move.
Do you think Foreman is on this team, say, by Friday or whenever?
Yeah, by week one, for sure. And I think it would happen when everything settles down. There's no rush to do it with him because he doesn't have to clear waivers. It's, as long as you reach that agreement or there's a wink and a nod that he's coming back, that makes sense to me. Maybe they look at the waiver wire and think they can find a younger back that they like better. But I never got any sense during camp that Foreman wasn't going to be here, so I'm leaning toward him being the guy that comes back.
And if his ribs were banged up and he wasn't going to practice this week anyway?
Yeah, it's just easy to – he's an easy guy, okay. An easy piece to move around. You know, they did it in Michael Dunn with the pass. They did it – I'm trying to think. There was a defensive lineman that they did it with a couple of years ago, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, they caught him. And then he comes back 3 days later.
Scott, I'm just curious. I'm just throwing it out there because I just want to weigh all options. Is there any chance that they kept all four quarterbacks because they're fearful that the general soreness for Deshaun Watson might keep him out less than four games to start the season?
I don't think so. I mean, I've gotten no indication that they think Watson's arm is an issue. Now, given what happened last year and given that he's coming off the shoulder surgery and that there was a soreness last week, I think you want to have the best quarterback group possible, which means to me keeping Jameis Winston as your number two in case he's needed. And I think DTR had a really good preseason, so he would be the number three guy. I just don't think you keep four as an insurance policy. You could put somebody on the practice squad if you want, but if you think he's going to be able to play week one, which every indication is that he can't, that he will play week one, then I don't think Huntley is the number four. I don't think that plays into it, Andy.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. Scott's coverage of the Browns, outstanding. Make sure you go read it. Tell me if this is the way you took this. Jack Conklin's little media gathering yesterday left me with the impression that in Jack's mind, he's ready to play left tackle. Do you think that's the case?
I do, and I'm finishing up that Conklin story right now. I thought it was a really interesting interview with him, guy who's been through so much. We knew that he torn the ACL and the MCL, and then I kind of forget about it. You think, okay, it's guy coming back from knee surgery, and he says ACL, MCL, PCL, meniscus, calls it the whole shebang. It's a long journey for him. I think you can forget. I mean, I get it. He's been hurt a lot. He's played 22 games and missed 29 over the last three seasons. So I get it, but he's also a two-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
That when you see him out there, looks good. He's the part, and he can still move, and he's still confident that he can play at a high level. It still needs to be seen. It's only one practice. But I certainly think that the plan right now, and who knows when Jed Wills will be back. It could be today, tomorrow, next Monday, and then they have a decision to make. But I feel like the Browns will get Jack Conklin ready to play left tackle week one in case Jed Wills is not ready to go.
Let me throw one name at you. Jerron Christian was cut by Tennessee yesterday. He stepped in last year and played admirably for the Browns at left tackle, made 9 starts. Interesting guy? Or that ship has sailed?
No, that is interesting. And I looked him up last week when they were going through all the tackle injuries and James Hudson was hurt and Wills and Cochran still weren't back and they had Jermaine Nefeti. I thought, where is Christian? And I had forgotten that Bill Callahan was part of getting him to Tennessee. So yeah. He certainly has to be on the Browns' radar. Is he an upgrade? Right now the question is he an upgrade over James Hudson III? And I think the Browns like Hudson's athleticism. He's been in the building for 4 years. He's a draft pick. But I think that's what the choice comes down to. Is it Hudson or is it Christian? And we'll see. You know, do they go out and bring him in, or is he a guy that maybe they keep on the can get on the practice squad, and then he could start in a pinch, maybe even ahead of Hudson? I could see that scenario, but certainly you still wonder about the depth of tackle given the injuries to Wills and Conklin, and he certainly makes sense to me, Jeff.
All right, not to go back to the quarterback thing here, but just one more quick quarterback question for you, okay? The NFLPA, they vetoed that emergency third quarterback rule. Did that have any play in the Browns, or do you think that had any play in anybody's decisions for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it probably did across the league. Mm-hmm. The Browns, Andrew Berry said that was not a concern to him, and not recently, but in the past it's come up and he's talked about it. And generally, they like to keep three quarterbacks. I know that they didn't. I'm trying to remember if they did it. They had two for a while, and then they brought in P.J. Walker right last year at the beginning. But in general, they like to have three quarterbacks. I think that was on the active roster. And I think that was driven home last year, given all the injuries that they had at the position. So I feel pretty strong that they were going to keep three quarterbacks regardless. And, again, I think the fourth one is just buying time until you try to trade one of those guys for an asset. But we'll see how it plays out. Maybe Andrew Berry sticks to his guns and there's four quarterbacks on this roster for another week or even to week two. But that seems like a stretch to me. And we all know how valuable these 53 spots are.
Scott Petrak's joining us, brownzone.com. And as Scott just said, he's got a story on Jack Conklin that will be up there shortly. The wide receiver spot, congratulations, Jamari Thrash. You look good. You made the team. Congratulations, David Bell. Injuries, you made the team. Are those two guys, you think, locked in on the 53, or could there be some – I mean, there are some pretty good wide receivers who were let go yesterday. Terrace Marshall, one of them. I think Isaiah Hodgins is interesting, who got let go by the Giants. Are those guys practice squad candidates, or could they even be 53-man candidates?
I feel more practice squad candidates because they don't like to – I think Thrash earned his spot on the regular season roster. Now, could they cut David Bell and try to bring him back on the practice squad? And maybe if you miss the initial wave of those waiver claims, it's easier to get a guy through and get him back on the practice squad. I could see it playing out that way. I was mildly surprised David Bell made the roster just because – I think he has a lower ceiling than a guy like Michael Woods II, who was cut. And he could come back on the practice squad as well. So I don't know if they're married to Bell and Thrash is on that 53, Jeff, and I could certainly see them upgrading. But I think Thrash, for whatever reason, I think he sticks on the 53-man roster, and I think Bell would be the guy who would, you know, be cut and hopefully brought back on the practice squad. I could be wrong about that. But, you know, when you haven't seen a guy in 3 weeks and you have doubts about him in the first place, That's my questions about David Bell.
You know, we went into the season trying to figure out what the roster was like, looking at the roster going, okay, this doesn't look like there's going to be a whole lot of movement. And to be honest with you, or maybe I want you to be honest with me, mm-hmm. that when you look at the roster, there's really only one move that I can kind of looked at and said, well, that was a byproduct of Luke Whipler getting hurt, and that probably would have been J-Van Cone on the offensive. Were there any surprises? And like to me,
undrafted free agent makes the team.
Yeah, he's like the only one on there that I'm kind of like, okay, and you see why it happened too.
Yeah, I thought the two biggest surprises were Foreman being cut, and if he comes back within the next 3 days or week, then that can't count as a surprise anymore. And Cohen making the team, and you're right, Whipler probably factored into that, although they went and got Nick Harris, so that felt like a one-for-one swap.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jermaine Ifedi, given he's made 83 starts in the league, given he played tackle and played guard, that experience would give him the edge, but they went with Cohen. And Cohen had a good camp. Now you have two rookie guards, you have Zinter and Cohen, and I think there's a little bit of a gamble there doing that, but those two moves were the ones that surprised me. I think a headliner, is, you know, besides the fourth quarterback, that was a surprise. And then one of the headliners is Fiaki Ika getting cut just because he was a third-round draft pick a year ago, but that's not a surprise given he didn't show anything as a rookie and he didn't show anything in training camp. It's just, would Andrew Berry hang on to one of his picks? We know he doesn't like to cut his draft picks, but you could see the writing on the wall.
But we could also see him back at noon, too, on the practice squad, right?
Maybe. I'm not convinced about that. I think they realized that he's not a fit for Jim Schwartz's scheme. They thought he could turn the dump truck into the Ferrari, and I just don't think he works in an attacking, get-up-the-field scheme. I think if he's going to have any future in the NFL, it's a two-gap nose tackle that just clogs the middle and takes up bodies, and the Browns just don't need him to do that.
It's interesting to me, Scott, in retrospect, that they drafted him knowing the type of defense Jim Schwartz wanted to play and then try to make him something that maybe he isn't. That I go back to draft day on that one. It's kind of weird.
I completely agree. And that's why I brought up that Ferrari quote that got so much run at the time. They thought that he had whatever ingredients they were looking for. But when you see him physically, he doesn't look that way. Right? He looks too big.
Looks like Danny Shelton.
He does. He does. He looks like Danny Shelton. And he looks too big to be a guy that gets up the field. And I'm sure he has quickness and burst, and that's what they saw, but it's just not enough, or there's not enough strength to combine with that quickness that they saw. But it did feel like an ill fit from the beginning, and the more he was here, the more that became clear.
So I think you've got plenty of depth most everywhere. Tight end is an issue. Irv Smith was cut. Irv Smith was a rookie with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota. Highly thought of guy out of Alabama. I'm putting two and two together. Am I getting four?
Yeah, I mean, he's an interesting one. I think there's a guy from Philly, the name's escaping me right now, that was cut. I like Parham that was with the Chargers for a long time.
A big, tall guy. Parham, I think.
Yes, thank you. I was always impressed. Every time the Browns played him, he stood out to me. So
he's like 6'7", isn't he?
I know. Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a receiver, probably more than a blocker.
Yeah.
But I remember watching him run deep crosses and going, okay, this guy is impressive to me. So I think there's candidates at tight end. You certainly can't, I don't think, they can go into week one with only two. That third guy could be on the practice squad. He could be on the active roster. But you can't just go in with Njoku and Jordan Akins, because I know they've gone to three wides more in this training camp, but they still run plenty of two tight end sets, and you need three guys just in case somebody goes down.
There are 13 guys on the roster that are over 30 years old. Is that a change in philosophy? You could say 11 because Dustin Hopkins and Charlie Hewlett fall into that. Do you think that they've kind of changed their philosophy a little bit, or this is just the right time to have guys with a little bit more seasoning?
I think it's where this team is as far as competing for playoffs and, in their mind, competing for a Super Bowl. If you're going to be older I mean, this is what you're referring to, Andy. Mm-hmm. For a long time, they were the youngest or one of the two or three youngest teams in the league. Well, when you get better and you expect to contend at a high level, that's when you're willing to get older. Now, you can't live that like that way forever, but I think this is the right time, and they realize that.
All right, I hate this time now. They've made cuts, roster's going to get adjusted, and then, you know, we sit around over this weekend and think, can we get to some football, please?
Right.
I'm ready. Are you left more optimistic, less optimistic after what you've seen in the preseason, Scott, about this season, about this team?
I'm going to go overall a little less optimistic, and that's all about Deshaun Watson and the inconsistency with him and then the inconsistency of the offense. I thought the defense looked great, especially against Minnesota. I think the defense is going to be outstanding. The offense needs to carry its weight. But there's reasons to believe it will, and that's Deshaun Watson. If he stays healthy and available, you know, can he get back to anywhere close to what he used to be? It's a huge question mark, but I believe there is that chance. I've not written him off as done for this league. He hadn't had in the training camp, there were less than a handful of days where he had Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, David Njoku all on the field with him. That's what these 2 weeks are about. And can they build momentum and build that chemistry and streamline the game plan and get ready for the Cowboys? I think they can, and I think the offense has a chance to be what they want it to be. I just didn't see enough of that in training camp, and that left me a little less optimistic. I still think they're going to have a winning record. I still think they're going to be in contention, but it didn't give you all this confidence being at practice every day.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, buddy.
Appreciate it. Yep.
Thanks, fellas.
Brownzone.com. Scott's story coming out on Jack Conklin momentarily. Go read it. Jeff Thomas, 2020.